This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. In his many years as a broadcast photographer for WCPO Channel 9, Ron Fisher has seen plane crashes, natural disasters, fires, presidential visits, Reds World Series victories, and the list goes on. His career with Channel 9 has spanned 50 years, a remarkable feat in the broadcasting industry where frequent job changes are more the norm. He's known by his co-workers for his can-do spirit and a physically and mentally demanding line of work. I talked to Ron earlier this week about how he got started as a TV news photographer, the stories he's covered, and how he keeps his positive attitude going. Ron, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Good to see you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, how did you get started in broadcast photography? How old were you when you first started in this?
Well, I started, photography was a hobby with me. At my home, parents' home, I had a dark room, so I developed black and white pictures. And then when I went on to UC, I worked on the newspaper and the yearbook there. So photography was a hobby with me. And a chief photographer lived in my neighborhood, and I knew his son. And it got around to the fact that they were looking for somebody at Channel 9 to develop color slides. Because color slides back in those days were a very big thing with Shottlecotti, that everything was a visual image.
Al Shottlecotti,
right, yes. Okay. And so we always had some sort of picture or video to go with all the stories. Al didn't believe in being on the air very much. You only saw him on the air a few minutes throughout the whole newscast, if you will. So we always shot video, color slides and whatnot. And so they needed somebody to process them. So we had a little makeshift closet in the newsroom that they installed a little sink. I had a little drying box for the film, and shelves where accounting records and never stored. So I developed and started developing color slides, mountain color slides, etc. And then from there, I moved on. Al Shottlecotti had, every Sunday night, we ran the weekend review. What we did there is took the highlights of every day and put together a little couple-minute reel just to recap what's going on. And between those, we had a little title board, a little magnetic board. We had magnetic letters that we stuck on the board. And those had to be shot in film. So I start setting up the boards, shooting the film and whatnot. And they were inserted in there. So from there, it just went on to where I started shooting video, or not video. I'm talking today's age.
It wasn't video yet, was it?
It was film. It was 16-millimeter film. We shot color at that time. We had just gone over to color film when I started back in 66. Up until that time, they were shooting black and white negative. So when we were shooting a 16-millimeter film, there was a local place in town that developed a film for us. And they only develop on twice a day at certain times. So whatever we shot had to be there to be processed, to be edited, etc. So when things got real late in the evening, we weren't going to make the runs, we had to shift over to black and white film to shoot, because that we could develop it ourselves at the time.
Now, is this something you had always planned to do, wanted to do? Was this your dream job? No?
No. I guess back in the days, I didn't have a dream job per se. It was a hobby that turned profession for me. I mean, with photography being a hobby for me, I just developed right on into it and doing news. I was one, though, that I used to be a CB radio operator back in the day. And I always had an interest in that. And I had a little portable scanner at the time, police scanner. And I used to enjoy listening to that. And then with the CB club, we tried to go on the road and help motors that are broke down. So a lot of times we'd go to calls like that and try to help out with that. So that was my interest in listening to the radios. I just enjoyed listening to police calls.
And that's kind of relates to what you ended up doing
right.
Anyhow.
Yeah. So between the photography and listening to this little bitty scanner. Now, this was very back in the days when I had a transistor radio and I had this little adapter that you put next to the radio and you could hear some police calls. That's the way we operate. I just enjoyed listening to that.
Now, you developed your own pictures, or what are some other things you did before you first got into broadcast photography? You were, what, 16 when you started with Channel 9?
No, it was 19.
19, okay.
But before that, my history with scripts actually goes back a lot longer than that, if you really want to add to it. Because back then, it was so often that boys were, you know, we always were newspaper delivery boys in our neighborhoods. We had our paper routes and things like that. So I worked for a little neighborhood guy delivering newspapers. So I delivered him. I had my own little route, and I delivered my newspapers to all the houses in the neighborhood, you know, walking the streets, delivering them. And then I started going more and more with him, and I got to the point where I would ride with him on his car. He had running boards inside of his car, and I'd help him. He'd drive the route, and I'd throw it from inside, from there. And I, you know, I was collecting and the money for him and whatnot. That was for the Cincinnati Post. That was for the Post and Time Star newspaper at the time.
Which was owned by Scripps.
Which was owned by Scripps.
Which is Channel 9's parent company. So you've actually been affiliated with Scripps for more than 50 years.
Well, yeah. And then after that, another fellow had some downtown routes. So I actually had a downtown route where I delivered papers to businesses downtown around Courthouse, Main Street, and whatnot. And we also at that time had guys standing on a corner selling the newspapers. So I would deliver them to them and collect the money and whatnot too. So my time with Scripps goes back a long, long ways.
How does broadcast photography today compare to broadcast photography 50 years ago? I'm sure there's got to be a lot of differences in the technology.
Technology is the big thing. As far as the coverage, you still cover things a lot of respects the same way. You go to a bank robbery, you go to an accident, you get the same kind of shots. You look for the same kind of things. It's basically the technology that's changed, and the fact that you can do so much more now than you could back then.
Cameras are a lot smaller than they used to be, too.
Well, we went through stages. When I first started, all the photographers carried with them a little small hand silent camera. We carried a 35-millimeter camera with a flash because, like I said, we shot a lot of slides. We also shot a Polaroid. We also carried a Polaroid camera with flash bulbs because if it was too late for any kind of developing, we had to get a Polaroid picture of a scene of an accident or something like that and get that back to the station. And then if you're going out for an interview, you had another camera, which was a sound camera. So we all carried a lot of cameras. And then the days of film, 16-millimeter film cameras, finally they got combined where it's one camera we used all the time for sound and silent. And a lot when it first started there, we had to carry an amplifier and whatnot with us too. And then they got combined to one camera. So it got to the point where it was real nice. It was nice, lightweight. You held a handle, and you plugged a microphone cable in, and you're ready to roll. And then along came videotape. And when videotape came along, then we had a great big recorder. It was like 2 foot by 2.5 foot square. We had to carry that 3/4-inch tapes we shot at that time. And we had a big backpack we had to carry because that was the guts, the power to power the camera. And then we had a camera, which wasn't too bad. It's more like our cameras nowadays. So in the early days of 3/4-inch tape, we had a lot of equipment and a lot of heavy equipment.
Tough on the shoulders, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then back then, too, I mean, along with carrying that, we had light belts. We needed a battery pack to operate our light belt, our lights for them to shoot with. So, you know, when doing interviews or something like that, we were on a moving, you know, moving around, so we carried a light belt. First, the batteries were we put on our shoulder, we carried. Then we had light belts that we wore around our. They looked like a big weight belt at the time, and we used those. And nowadays the cameras are getting much more lightweight and smaller. Yes.
Yeah, you're talking about legendary news anchor Al Schottelkotty. Mm-hmm. What was he like? What was it like working for him?
He was a very, very good newsman. He wanted things to be very correct, very accurate. He could spend a day on the golf course. But when he came in and started reading the copy for his 6 o'clock show, he questioned what was written in the script, whether details were accurate and correct, locations. He was very much of a stickler for locations. We didn't want to get that wrong. He was a very difficult, not so much for the photographers as much, but for the reporters, actually back in the days they were called writers because there weren't what you hear of today as a reporter, someone going out writing a story. It was all writers at the time. But he was very, very tough on them. But anybody that worked for him over the years, they might have thought it was very, very tough at the time, but they became very good journalists after that and when they left. He was just that kind of a guy. I mean, away from work, he was great. I mean, we were out socially at various times and had get-togethers with the newsroom and things like that. It was a lot of fun. But he was a very, very difficult man to work with. I would imagine a lot like Marge Schottk. her reputation. Like, you know.
And that's somebody you actually covered during your career, too, was Marge Schott.
Oh, many times. Did interviews with her, both at the ballpark, in her office, at the Chevrolet dealership. So, I've been around her many times.
What was the first really big story that you covered, Ron?
You know, I don't know which was probably the first. I know when I started, we were having a lot of the big plane crashes at Greater Cincinnati Airport. Planes were coming in too low and hitting the hill and crashing. I know I had covered at least one of those where a plane just crashed in the field up there on the hill. Since I started having so many of them, then they added the navigation system, the lights up there on the hill, so planes knew to get up so they didn't end up on the side of the hill. That's probably the first major event that I remember. I mean, there's been so many over the years. I mean, I couldn't begin to guess how many things, because I've been involved in so many things over the years at, you know, one point or another, sometimes right on the scene when it happens, sometimes day after. So that's the way it was.
Tell me about the first time you actually covered a story from a helicopter.
Okay, first time in a helicopter, we had a produce house down on the riverbank, and it was an extremely cold winter night to the point where water was freezing for the firefighters. They had to be careful with, you know, landing on the ground. It turned to ice right away. Their equipment was all freezing up. The water on their helmets was freezing and whatnot. Back at the time, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but back at the time, we had a photographer who owned a helicopter. It was a little two-seat, one of those little bubble helicopters. And got the word that I was going up in that. I said, okay. You know, so we go to get in the helicopter. We take the doors off because you can't shoot through the doors, because at the time we're holding a camera up on our shoulder trying to shoot. So we're shooting this, and there's flames like you would not believe. And we're flying on over there, over this fire, and he kind of angles the helicopter, and I'm looking straight down in this great ball of fire. I mean, wow. I could feel the heat and everything else. It was a cold winter night, but it was warm up there when we were going over that. I think that was the first time I definitely remember flying in a helicopter.
So what was going through your mind?
You know, I wasn't thinking a lot about it. I was thinking...
You were just thinking about getting the shot,
I was thinking
you?
About getting a shot and whatnot, and I thought, this is a really good angle. But what did bother me so much, and even in later helicopters, were the seat belts. They weren't like your car seat belts where they snap in and they lock. I mean, these they kind of... You put in and you kind of push down on it, and it did not ever seem to me to be a very good lever to hold you in. That's all there was. I mean, I was just sitting there with this little belt around me and that, so... But
any idea how many fires you've covered over the years?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Lost track.
Oh, no. No. I mean, I remember another one. It was downtown, too. We were out somewhere else, and we were up in a helicopter, and they had a report of a fire downtown. And we came downtown. It didn't look like much of anything, but you could see smoke coming from a door up on one of the – it was a high building downtown. It was a business. It might have been another warehouse, as a matter of fact. But – you couldn't see much of anything. All of a sudden, nothing just grew and grew and grew and grew. And I could have all kinds of shots up there of flames, smoke, and everything else. And everybody down on the ground couldn't see nothing. Just the smoke rising, because everything was up on the roof. And it was just a great vantage point. And I really saw that fire really grow and develop just from it, because it was all on the roof and we were up in a helicopter.
Emotionally, what's been the hardest story for you to cover?
It's always very emotional when you got children involved in an accident or something like that. When you go to court a lot of times and you're here before sentencing, they always ask families of both the victims and the people that do it to speak. And those at times really get very, very emotional, very, very emotional. And sometimes it's really hard to take. Sitting there listening to these people on both sides, not just the person that did it, but also, you know, both sides, just very, very emotional at times.
Hmm. On the other side, what have you enjoyed most in your work?
Well, you know, I've done some traveling with Channel 9. I've gone to the World Series in Oakland back in 76 and 90 both, and those were enjoyable. Yeah, I enjoyed going out there and being involved in what's going on and whatnot. And I know the last one in 90, we were still out there, so I missed a parade back here in town. But but it was a lot of fun, and all the supporters that go along and whatnot. So it was just a lot of fun being out there and being involved in those.
Yeah, it's unusual in the broadcast business for somebody to not just to work at the same position for 50 years, to work in the same area for 50 years, but to work at the same station. Are you amazed that it's been 50 years?
I am. In fact, I never. It's hard to think about it being 50 years. I don't. It doesn't seem like it's 50 years. Time just goes by so rapidly. But I grew up in Cincinnati. I lived here all my life. All my family, my wife's family, and everybody lives in Cincinnati. And so I guess it was a real honor to be able to come to a TV station and spend my entire career at one place. It's certainly nothing that's done nowadays at all. And as I look back, it's probably not – if I would have decided to move on from station to station, and I probably could have made more money. But I just enjoyed being here in town and, you know, being here all my entire life.
It's tough work. Broadcast news photography. It's physically challenging, as you were talking about earlier. It's emotionally challenging. You see a lot of tragedy and disaster. So, how do for 50 years? How do you keep your positive attitude going for you?
Well, in my job, every day is a new day. I can go home, and whatever happens that day, if it's a bad day, if things don't go right, I can go home and forget about it. I start off fresh the next day. If I have a problem with somebody I'm working with that day, I don't carry it through. It's, you know, it's forgotten. We're starting a new day. And I just try to keep the positive attitude in that regard. And just every day is a new day. I never know where I'm going. I never know what I'm doing. I never know if I'm going to get off on time. As far as lunch break or dinner break, you never know. But it's, I don't know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's something different. It's not as though I'm going somewhere and doing the same repetitive job over and over. And, you know, that's a lot of fun. It's not fun going out in the cold weather and standing outside or in rain or snow sometimes. But, you know, I've been able to handle that. As I keep getting up in years a little bit more, it affects me more. The cold affects me more. I feel it more in my fingertips and things like that. But you know, it's still, it's a lot of fun.
So what's next for you? Just plan to keep going?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. People keep asking me all the time. He says, you're going to retire soon. And I said, you know, I may. I may not. I'm still able. I'm physically able to still handle the equipment. I still enjoy the people I work with. I like still getting out and doing things. But, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't decided one way or the other. When people ask me before my anniversary, they said, when are you going to retire? And I said, well, I don't know, but I think I'm going to wait till at least I get the 50 years in. And then after that, we'll play it by ear. I don't know.
Well, Ron, congratulations on making it for 50 years.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Glad to be here.
Broadcast photographer Ron Fisher. This is his 50th year working with WCPO Channel 9.